You are not to discuss this matter amongst yourselves.
We don't submit reports or ask approval for specific operations, if that's what you mean. We are an autonomous department.
Any questions?
Podcasting from an abandoned subspace relay orbiting Risa, this is Section 31, gathering intelligence for you on Star Trek CCG. Now reporting in, operatives Dan and Rogue.
Welcome to Section 31, episode number 164. I'm Dan Hammond.
And I'm Rogue Schindler.
This week, we are attempting to record this with video. I don't think it's going to work, but you never know.
This is fascinating. Yes.
I'm coming to you from the Continuum Committee Warehouse, and I'm sure you were at the Achievement Headquarters.
I'm coming to you from the Achievement Couch Lounge.
Very good. All right.
Many other achievement were conceived upon this couch. That sounds like something else.
Why don't we just go on? We were going to talk about our tournament, our 1E tournament that we had. I wrapped up my last game in my 1E online tournament. We could talk about that too.
Oh, excellent.
We don't have any 2E spoilers this week. Our agents have been slacking, apparently. but we do have some information. I think we have some information about what's going on in this warehouse here with the promos, and you know what happens next. So we can talk about that.
There were also a few errata announcements today.
Yes.
Mostly.
Yeah.
Pink centric.
Pink centric.
Yeah, they were like all Bajoran cards, or mostly Bajoran cards.
Right. Are these? Let's see. We've got three cards: Text to the Coast of Mojin, Hate, and Win Adami.
Hate.
Are any of these cards that you've used recently? Ever?
Sure, I've used them all. Win is a very specific abuse that I'm not surprised. I am not surprised it got eroded, and I'm surprised that it took this long, because it's not like, you know, I play Win Adami and I win the game, but it's some really kind of seriously abusive, you know, if you've got her, she's the one that recycles any non-Bajoran from your discard pile and put them back on top of your deck.
Yes.
So I was like, I'll Tongo you. Okay. Hey, look, I've got Admiral Kirk. Five. What do you have?
Sure.
Discard him. Right. You've got Julian Bashir, or six.
Bashir, yeah.
Lore.
And you get him back every turn.
So you get him back. I'll do it three times, and I'll get him back three times. So, I mean, I'm still not thrilled that you can do that. That seems really kind of stupid cheesy, but at least you can only do it once per turn now.
All right. I don't think the target of this errata has shown up in our meta. You know what I mean? I've seen the Win Adami trick, you know, once a turn to set up a Tongo, but I haven't seen it. I can't recall why you would want to do it more than one time, so, yeah. I don't know. I don't have any.
The article states that there are particular personnel that they're trying to prevent the recycling abuse of. So I don't know if I can't think of any personnel off the top of my head who are, you know, one and done, you know, discard this personnel to do something. You know, most of those are all out of play or, you know, back to hand. So, but I'm sure as soon as we post this, we will get many corrections as to why that works. Speaking of corrections to what we think works, we did get one last week. From about last week's conversation about the dilemma, the Sateran incident? I don't know. Something like that. The infiltrator dilemma. I just wasn't reading all the way through because it's read by your opponent. So it says your opponent. When it says your opponent, it means you. You play it on somebody and they read it. So
yeah,
I play it. And their opponent, which would be me, gets command of an infiltrator on their ship. So it works the way I wanted it to.
Right. But did someone talk you out of playing it mid-game, or
yes.
did you talk yourself out of playing it?
Me. Some idiot. I was literally about to do it, and I was like, well, this is going to be another one of those things where it doesn't work the way I think it does. Let me read this 5 times. And I managed to talk myself out of it. I even asked Thomas, because he's the one I plan on, and I knew he would give me a straight answer because he's always entertained by random shenanigans like that. But we both, you know, we're just like, well, yeah, I don't think that works right. But yeah, you know, it's sometimes hard to remember the perspective, reading from the correct perspective on those.
Sure.
But now.
Now that you've tried the deck, I can try it next. We'll see how it goes. The text of the Cost of Imogen, any idea? This is now you can't play this with multiple headquarters. That was what went down, I believe, at Worlds last year. Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I kind of wish there was a link to the card that is being rotted in the email article so that I could easily click over. Because I'm trying to remember what it does that makes it so bad.
Stop your Kai or one of your Bajoran Treachery personnel to choose non-profit cards from your discard pile. Choose an opponent to choose one of those cards to place in your hand and one to remove from the game.
Huh.
Well, you know what? I think the errata in the errata sheet, it says... Stop your Kai or one of your Bajoran Treachery personnel to choose two non-profit cards. That should be T-W-O, not T-O. To choose two non-profit cards.
Right.
Not to choose two non-profit cards. Yeah. So you choose two, your opponent gets to choose one, it goes away, and the other one goes to your hand. You may do this only once per turn. I believe the erratum is...
You can only play Bajor.
Single headquarters, yeah. Yes.
I guess that makes sense. Yeah, I mean, there's so many things that could be abused in that way.
Sure. I mean, yeah. Let's see. And the last hate, no more beaming up somebody so they are present with a kit, they gain the skill, and then you put them out of play for, future Starfleet folks.
Future Starfleet.
Yeah. E-squared. Guys?
Oh, okay. The
guys who want to be put out of play?
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow, some very specifically situational things coming up this time. But obviously it's a problem, or it wouldn't have been fixed, so.
Yeah.
That's cool.
All right, well, do we have any other TUI information then, or is that going to conclude the TUI segment of the show?
I think that might be it after this week's tournament, and we're still kind of sitting on the or coasting from our last spoiler. So
we've got a few things that were posted today or are going to be posted by the time this is up. The first is that the rules master for 1E has been chosen.
Right. Yes, Jonathan Carter. Is that correct?
That is it. I'm sad to say I don't know this person.
I mean,
I've seen his posts.
His handle on the boards is PFTI.
I suppose that's 50?
50? Or an acronym.
Okay.
I don't know what.
Power for the interrupt.
Yes. Ooh, a new turn in the 1E rules policy, that statement. I don't know.
Right.
You're making that up.
All right. So that's great news. I know there are a few things that were hanging that we could finally get pushed away.
Yeah. And, good luck to him. That's a huge mantle to take on. I believe the term used this weekend was there's a lot of baggage that comes with 1E rules and policies. So best of luck to him and the continuing rules team.
And that position has burned out a few people who, were good people, kind of got fed up with it and left. So here's hoping he's around for the long haul, right?
Yeah. Dude, playing 1E rules burns me out. I can't imagine trying to make rulings.
All right. Well, yeah, congrats, and we're looking forward to moving forward then. We covered the errata. What else have we got?
Well, we had that tournament this weekend.
We did. We played in the first round, right?
I was going to say, I think we're both kind of reluctant to talk about it. Yeah, we did, which was fine.
I mean...
My deck was less than functional, so I got a chance to learn how to play it. It turned out not to matter.
I had the benefit of playing a deck that was similar to a deck I played before, so you were still learning yours as we went, right?
I gotta say, by the time I got to the end of round two, I didn't know decks forwards and backwards, but I played against you and I played against Charlie, and both of you guys were playing sort of derivative decks of your existing decks. You know, you'd made changes and,
sure.
and made differences, but yeah. I was like, am I the only one who put their butt on the line making a new deck this week, and I'm getting hammered because I don't know how to play my new deck?
No. But it wasn't Charlie and I.
and it's funny because I said after the last 20 tournament that my deck was two decks waiting to be played on their own. And so I was like, well, let's take one of these decks out and play it. But I've been sitting on Hirogen for the better part of a year as my last. There's that can't do that in 2E achievement. That is,
yes.
play the five affiliations that don't exist in 2E. And that's been the last one I've needed, and I've kept finding excuses to do other things. I have never, ever, until this tournament, played Hirogen. I played against them, and I don't know, it was kind of like playing Borg. You know, you're doing something, sure, do it. Trust, you know, and they sort of narrate your actions, and I'll kind of pretend like I know what you're doing, and I'll just, you know, follow along. But I really, you know, between the stigma of Delta Quadrant, that was the last set that came out before I moved back east back in the day. Mm-hmm. So my tournaments went from maybe monthly to maybe quarterly. So I really, you know, it's like I didn't want to try something brand new I never played. I just like, oh, I know how to play this. So I never really got any experience with them. And it was evident.
I somehow was the first person to play Hirogen when the achievements came out.
Really?
Yeah.
I remember that, because there was that first weird achievement was win with one deck or one Delta mission, play a Delta Quadrant affiliation with one Delta mission and.
So what quadrant is this anywhere, or something like that?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so I've played them. I played the deck that I played was Vidians. I haven't played Kazon yet. They're my last one. I played the Alliance and the Empire, but I'm still waiting on Kazon. And then we've got a new card now.
I was going to say, that should be a lot more fun now.
Yeah.
One hopes.
So how did... What I know Hirogen are still up there among, you know, the... People talk about it still being a tier one deck.
But not mine.
Not the way you played it.
Yeah. With TNG out, it's really tough to sit there and compete and look at you know, obviously the Delta Quadrants have undergone a sort of throttling, for lack of a better term.
Yes.
You know, they have to do an Alpha Quadrant mission now, which I was going to do anyway because of that achievement. They have to, you know, they get a lot less of their cooperation. The spatial scission is gone, which is fine. You know, they're all pretty beefy. That Hirogen Hunt got eroded relatively recently, sometime this year. You know, it's been less than a year. And so, you know, I don't know. The deck has changed and I guess the errata was you can only do that download once per for your normal card draw.
Sure.
Which I was like, well, that, you know, I don't know how you could do this for more than your normal card draw. I don't know how it would make that much of a difference, but I ended up obviously learning. I just, you know, trying to keep up with the TNG card draws and card plays was, it just wasn't happening. You know, they have that KCA reporting mechanism where you have to have certain guys in play to play other guys for free.
Yeah.
And then I would draw those guys. I'm like, all right, finally, I drew somebody who I have is named by somebody in my hand, except that he's an alpha, and then he plays for free, and then I can't, you know, that's my free card play, and then I have to either play this as my card play to get more people out, or wait till my next turn and play him for free, which is stupid because I don't have another card play, and you know, yeah. It's just, I sat down against Johnny, and I literally got steamrolled. It took less time to play our game than it did to set us up, because I have to use, you're required to use wormhole negotiations, because I need to use the Barzan wormhole to get the Elf Quadrant. So I really don't have any way around that. The space line was unfortunately set up so that it was right in the middle. You know, I tried to get guys, you know, two people in a ship, which is all you need, so that I could at least come and sit at it.
Sure.
But it didn't matter, you know. He played seven guys in a turn for two turns, and came over with, you know, everything he needed to get past his own combo and steal the mission. So two turns and 50 points. It was like, okay, well, I guess we'll just not do anything. But that was sort of an extreme case. But that's basically, you know, what I was going up against. I tried to put in all of the alphas and some guys who played for free. You know, that's still only a little bit of card playing.
What were you using for a draw engine?
I had some surprise parties. And then kind of late in the game, I decided to add a duck blind because Corrosion have a lot of anthropology.
Sure.
And I was like, well, I need some more reports. I need some free reports. And I was like looking at Herogen decks, and they all have, you know, all the Delta Herogen decks are barely Herogen. They're like Herogen / Equinox. And you pile on all the non-aligns, and you get all the Borg and one, and, you know, they're all sharing skills. And, you know, that's how they get, that Home Away From Home is their supporting play. And, you know, with all of my ships being in the Alpha Quadrant, that was not going to work. So I threw in a Sona Observatory at Insurrection. So I had some Baku and I had some Sona, and I got, you know, a couple Anthro on the first turn so I could duck blind draw. And I had no intention of doing Insurrection, even though I had the capability to, mostly because it's such a common popular mission right now that almost everybody is running a dead end, and almost everybody is putting it there. So there's not really.
Yeah.
I was like, well, this isn't worth the trouble if I don't do it first. And it's not worth the trouble of doing it after that. So I just kind of used it as a decoy. But yeah, it was pretty tough. Those didn't come out well. So the thing that really screwed me up, I feel bad now because I'm kind of rambling on and on about this. But I saw you play this when you played Herogen, and it entertained the hell out of me. So I was like, I got to try this, So you have the Rituals of the Hunt. You play it on one of your opponent's guys, and you gain all their skills. All of your Anthro Herogen gain that guy's skills. So if you play Mott's Advice on your prey, they gain barbering. So all of your Anthro guys gain barbering. So you have a bunch of guys with which to trim your opponent's deck with Infer Trim. Which is hilarious.
Yes.
These Herogen
yes,
barbers, sure how do is. They know how to do this? They don't have hair. I think my favorite comment of the day was, you know, Barber Pole really needs to be a captain's order because I was having a problem getting Barber Pole out, and I had ready room doors coming out of everywhere. And I was like, how come that's not a captain's order? And you're like, because he wasn't really the captain! which is not true, because he wasn't really the barber.
He wasn't really the barber.
Yeah, he was just posing as the barber. My name is Mott.
Mott.
But yeah, so getting the barber pole, I like somehow at 3 a.m. fixated on how the hell I was going to get the barber pole out so that would work, because you have to have barber pole on table.
And is that why you threw the tents in?
So that's why I went and grabbed 8 Q's tents and put them in my deck. It's like, this would be brilliant because this is a deck that's very keyed off of having the right people. So I took like one of each alpha. I got an extra alpha and put them all in my tent. I got, you know, one of each of the Herodian cards and put those in. I grabbed a Ready Room door and a holodeck door and put those in and a barber pole. And I thought that was brilliant, except that especially after the errata. Yes, exactly. That was me. Sad face. When all of your Herodian shenanigans is keyed off of replacing something with your end of turn card draw, it's not cool to do something that prevents you from getting your end of turn
card draw. So you'd want to have... Boy, those things do not work well together.
Yeah.
Because previously, if you had card draws in the middle of the turn, and you turned them into Herodian things, but then it was routed, so you can't do that.
Yes, exactly.
So the tent is a bad card for the Herodian.
This, boys and girls, is why we always test draw the deck before you play.
I'd go a step farther. I'd actually play it against someone, because I probably wouldn't have noticed that until I tried it in an actual game, and they said, you can't do that.
Well, you go through, I would totally have gone through, you go through 5 or 6 turns of drawing and playing and seeing how it runs. And as soon as I got to a tent and I played it and realized I wasn't going to draw cards that turn, I'd been like, oh.
Right.
That's not good. On the upside, it was kind of cool. I don't know. I almost always had a tent in my first 2 turns. And, by that time, getting the barber pole seemed like such a lesser concern when I could get one of my alphas or surprise party.
Sure.
So I almost always grabbed surprise party first thing. So most of my games, I was drawing 3 cards from like turn 2 or 3. So in that regard, it wasn't bad. But as soon as that tent hits the table, all 3 of those card draws go away. So,
yes,
it was 2 great tastes that did not taste great together. They were quite counterproductive.
Right. Yeah. Well, you don't have to play Herodian again.
Thank God. Because I don't plan on it.
The best Herodian that I've seen recently has been paired up with the holograms. Just because it seems to... They've got a lot of ships. They got a hologram. They got all their guys are, dual Herodian hologram guys. But, yeah. Maybe next time. And the Olara, yeah. Like I said, I was playing the another DQ affiliation. I was playing the Vidians. I played a Vidian deck at the last tournament, the last 1E tournament, and it was pretty horrible. I don't think I won any of my games.
Okay.
But, it was... I'm looking to try to figure out... I haven't played a lot of Vidian, so, it's going to come up eventually. We're going to need to give them a few cards here and there, so I was going to, research, right? So I decided to play him again. Actually, to rewind a bit, I played him in the traditional tournament online, too. Because I figured there's no, no general quarters or whatever.
Sure.
There's no Muir Monument.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I figured a lot of people would be playing DQ stuff, because that's what was good, when Decipher stopped making the cards. So I tweaked a few things for my first deck, and took out all the virtual stuff and made it a traditional deck. For this weekend's tournament, I took the best stuff out of the traditional deck and then added back in the virtual stuff that would work. Someone I was playing against online was using Ancestral Vision because it's serrated, so it's back in the pool for OTF.
Right.
And they were using Assigned Support Personnel to get Jem out on the first turn and beam her down because she qualifies. She has Honor and High Integrity. I was not using an AU door, so I had to find somebody else. So I used Dr. Nidum, I think, from Deep Space Nine. And more than one person said, that's the first time I've ever seen that personnel in a game. But that was cool. He had Honor and has a High Integrity. So that was my primary draw engine. It was kind of like your duck line. First turn, get somebody down there and start drawing cards. I was using a lot of Handshakes for more card draws since I get usually two free plays every turn, a Staff, non-aligned, and a Medical Vidian. And I think the primary difference between my last OTF Vidian deck and this OTF Vidian deck is I cut out 90% of the people that didn't play for free. So I had a lot of Vidians that had Medical. I don't think I had very many who didn't. And then all the Staff guys for the Equinox for Home Away From Home were all the rest of the classifications and the rest of the skills. It worked out pretty well. I went 2-2, I think. I won half the games I played. One of the games I won, my opponent had played both General Quarters and UR Monument, so I had to solve four missions.
Oh, wow.
But it wasn't too bad. I mean, they're good at solving missions. That's what they do. And the two games I lost, one player had it, the other player said he had it. We'll see.
Check those deck lists.
Yeah. But, man, you know, after playing them in three tournaments now, I'm going back and looking at that banned card, Organ Theft, and just how good that card was.
It was pretty ridiculous.
The first deck I played, I think it was based on a deck with Organ Theft in it because it had a lot of Vidians that didn't play for free. So you play the Medical for free and then you just eat them and, you know, download whatever you need. Whereas now, you know, you could, the only free play is the Medical guys, so you're losing your card plays for anything else. But, you know, that whole, it's pretty much dial a skill with the download. You can either report two Vidians, which means you just play two guys who aren't Medical from hand, or you download one. Man, having not played it, when that card was legal ever, I wish the card was legal when I was playing it.
That's
really good.
I mean, that was all Johnny played.
Back
in the day when we, we didn't really play 1E a lot because it was sort of the pre-TCC era, post-1E era. There really wasn't any more 1E. It was after All Good Things, and that, you know, we had, these are all the cards, we're done. You know, this is all we're ever playing. We only played every couple of months, so, you know, it wasn't always worthwhile building a new deck, and it was like, oh, God, what am I going to bring? Because I gotta shut down the Genochronic Replicator, and I gotta protect myself against having my organs stolen, and first time in a long time when you really had to tech against, because that deck was so good. It's like, okay, and you could not open a pack of Voyager without Johnny's nose pricking up. It's like, did you just open a Chakotay? Do you want to trade that? I think he had like 8 or 9 Chakotays.
Yeah, that first turn Ancestral.
Get that out on the first turn. It was crazy.
Yeah, in fact, he commented on the Assigned Support Personnel to get him out. Said, you know, it's I'm crazy that no one did that back in the day. because he said, you know, if for some reason he missed his Chakotay draw, he'd be pretty much out of luck for a while to get somebody down there. But, well, Support Personnel, I mean, granted, Chakotay was 2 draws, right? Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. I don't know.
Now I have a question, just out of curiosity, because you kind of made this as an offhand comment while I was looking at it. When you dropped that about it being essentially duck blind.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm trying to, in my mind, reconcile that. Because I do still feel like the Delta Quadrant wins.
Well, like the resources... only have to have one person instead of two.
Yeah. I mean, I suppose you're... it's pretty rough to get... You know, you kind of have to go with the two Sona if you're not playing Federation.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise it's... You know, you could try to AMS, or I guess you have to use one of your mission specialists and then support personnel to get another anthro for other affiliations. Whereas it, so it, looks like it sounds like you, the Delta only has to get the one guy.
One guy, and
he's non-aligned, so it's everywhere.
It's everywhere. I guess the difference is you'd have to... You have to be playing either the Equinox or a Necrit Supply Depot because it has to be matching to play them to it on the first turn, which, you know, most people play Equinox anyway.
Sure.
And it's only... Wow, I almost said immune to Alter. It's only immune to Kevin if someone has... if Chakotay is there. I threw Chakotay in my deck just in case I drew him, I could play him and not worry about it. And he's, you know, got pretty good skills. So you don't have to come and battle me. You can just Kevin it, you know, as long as you do that before I got my Chakotay in. I mean, who's playing a second Ancestral? So
I am really bummed now because I had a first turn Quinn in my hand against you, and I did not even think about playing it on that.
No, because it's already in play, so you can't Quinn it.
Oh, it's Quinn as it, yeah. Oh, it has be as it's being played, right?
Yeah. So, yeah, I understand the calls and cries for Organ Theft to return now because it was hard to play the Medeans without it. I can't imagine what it would do because, you know, playing two people for free or downloading one is really good. So,
yeah, that's...
We'll see.
Still pretty gross.
Yeah. To wrap up our chat of the last tournament, Thomas Weinberg went undefeated on the day with his TNG Klingon deck. I was in a different quadrant. You were actually in his quadrant. Did you play against TV?
I didn't. I was really bummed because...
He was your one player, huh?
Yeah, I always love playing against TV because he comes up with some, you know, so inventive... ideas, such inventive ideas, particularly Wai. I'm always excited to see what he was playing. And I commented to him when we had the fourth round pairings. I was like, oh, I didn't get to play Thomas. It's like, I really wanted to play you because I always love your ideas. He's like, well, I'm taking a page out of your book. And I was like, what does that mean? like, and you're not playing Mirror? Like, So I was like, and his is the only deck that's not posted on the tournament right now. So
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Refresh.
No, it was TNG Klingons with Gowron and a lot of free plays. I want to say our game was close, but he just kept. Oh no, I remember what happened in our game. He also had two. He's playing Continuing Mission, which downloaded his warp core card. I want to say he had a tent and a battle bridge, and the rest of his deck was dilemmas.
Oh, wow.
It was the typical, okay, I've got, that's right. He wasn't playing any ref stuff. So I'm doing my, you know, Delta Quadrant. I'm downloading the triplets. I got one, I've got my support personnel. I've got my two or three free plays. I got my ship full of people and I beamed down and I attempted a mission and they just systematically all died.
Oh my God.
That combo of volcanic eruption and Horda and Hanonian land eel. And when I finally got past the land eel, everyone died to the flapjacks and... It was so much death.
Oh my God!
That was it. That couldn't get past five dilemmas here and there. That's
Yeah, that's
And it's ridiculous.
wow.
I did get past one of his combos, and I hope I'm not destroying his Nationals deck for, you know, next month. One of his combos, the first was an Antonian Brain Teaser, you know?
Oh, yeah.
You know which one that reminded of? No bonus points here. And then it was all those classic Premier Dilemmas that are worth 5 points if you beat them.
Oh, that's
awesome! That get doubled. They get doubled by, you know, all
yeah,
the Shades of Grey stuff.
Shades of Grey stuff. Oh, that's
so
brilliant.
Like, all right. Oh, okay, I'll beam somebody over and score 5 points. No, you can't score 5 points. All right. Well, get past the Turaline Plague ship, but I don't score 5 points. All right. Navigational, whatever. Oh, yeah, I've got all the navigation. Score 5 points. No, you don't have to score 5 points. Oh. Everything was double. Everyone was getting stopped. I forced my way through it, but I got nothing.
Oh, that's brilliant.
It was fun. Game against Thomas was fun. But
see,
he's
always entertaining and interesting to see what he's put together.
Yeah, I think this is the first time I've played with more than 18 dilemmas. I think I was playing with 19.
Wow.
And I was feeling great, you know, because I had a 4-card combo, and he's got, okay, there's 5 here, 4 here, 5 here, 5 here, 5 here.
Wow.
Yeah. I got to put some I'm a Doctor, Not a Bricklayer just in the draw deck just so I can get past that Horda.
That's good stuff.
All right. Okay. Well, yeah, congrats to TV for winning the day. We had a round of triples afterward. If I remember correctly, I think Johnny went out like 4 of the 5 times.
Yeah.
Or 5 of the 5 times.
Steamroll.
Not many points, but he just went out over and over again and kept everyone else from scoring. And
yeah.
There were no tally poison players or utilized players at the table who could get anything going. So congrats to Johnny for, I think it's the second win in a row for triples.
Yep, that's right.
All right. And so that leaves me to talk about the online tournament. This is the first time I played online in ages, and it was a traditional tournament, and I haven't played one of those, so I thought it'd be fun. And like I said, I retooled the Vidian deck. I thought it did a little better than the first time. I think I went 2-2. I won my first game, and I lost a pair, and then in the last round, I felt bad because I played against Matt. In the last round in 2 tournaments in a row and beat him with the Vidian deck twice in a row.
Wow.
Yeah. But I would definitely recommend going back to the online tournaments. I had a blast. I got to play against a couple of people from all over. And did you hit my extradition combo in space?
No.
Oh, okay. So I got this great new combo that I learned from somebody. I learned the Ancestral Vision trick for downloading a support personnel in the Delta Quadrant.
Sure.
From one of my opponents. That was great. I had a great time. Let's see. I played Matt, the Comdecker. I played against 2 Matts in the last 2 rounds. I played against, my first 2-round opponents are too long ago. I don't remember. I think the hardest thing about the online tournaments is scheduling, and I think I had 3 late night, you know, 8:30 or 9 o'clock games, and 1 early 7 in the morning game.
Ugh.
Better than 2 in the morning, maybe.
Depends on the day, I guess.
Yeah, depends on the day.
I think I'd rather stay up.
Yeah. But I will definitely be doing this again. Maybe not December, since we've already started and. It's going to be a brutal month, what with all the holidays and everything.
Yeah.
But I'll be back in January for certain.
Yeah, I took time
off.
It
was a league event, too.
Oh, nice. So another league.
Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah,
I'm waiting for...
stopped playing in you know, spring because I didn't have time with the con season coming up and trying to do costumes and get everything ready and then traveling so much. I just never had all of the weeks in a row that I could commit to an online tournament, but I kind of forgot after it died down that I was like, oh yeah, these are still happening. So I have to keep an eye on those and see if there's one I can play in.
Yeah. I'm looking for the results and they're not up yet, but, I did not play in the top table at the end, so it doesn't matter very much, but I had a good time and I'll do it again. Certainly. Yeah. WCT online. That was good.
Cool.
All right. I think we've babbled enough. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that was, we pretty much covered everything, and we've got some room to discuss. Or did we want to, I think I have a piece of information here.
Yes.
So you want to talk about what's going on behind you?
Oh, right. So, yeah, this should have been posted by the time this episode goes up, unless the video gets uploaded instantly, in which...
which we weren't really expecting to happen. Now it's just going to be there. Holy crap! Have you seen this video? I didn't know they did video. And there's this information that we're not supposed to have yet.
So, we had a problem with our foil production. It seemed that the demand was so much that we increased our production, and then we got to the precipice and fell over the cliff and couldn't make any more because that's the way things went. We found a new source, same paper, new printer, which is why the cost is going to probably go up a little bit. But we found a new source, so we will return to foil tournament kits in January. So we won't have anything for the rest of December. Starting in January, at least we hope we'll be able to start in January based on the production timelines, we'll roll back in. And since the, I think it's E version, set E and set 9, I think series 9.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Since they were only out for a couple, about a month or so, and not everyone were able to get their hands on it, we are going to keep those promos available. So there won't be new promos on January 1st. They will be the promos from now, whatever. And they will be available throughout June.
That was going to be my next question because I was I was redoing my checklists, just adding, you know, it's been almost a year to fill them out. And I was like, wow, I did not get hardly any of this last set. It's almost December. I better get off my butt and play in some tournaments so I can get some of these. It's like, oh, yeah. Okay, that's right. That's why I didn't get more of these, because they weren't there to be gotten.
There are none to be gotten. Yeah. So, but you'll have plenty of opportunity to get them for the rest. In fact, through regional season, right? Through the first half of regional season.
Right. Yeah. Well, that should be. Well, if you're doing the full cycle, that would be the rest of regional season. So the end of June.
So we've talked and it sounds like our decision is this will not impact when they become printable.
So, that's interesting. So they'll be basically printable right after they're no longer available.
Right, because that will be a year after we started giving them out or whatever.
That makes sense. Yeah, you don't want to punish people who have been waiting for those knowing they're coming.
But for all of you making speculative spoiler lists and put them off until, you know...
the next nine slots on the virtual...
Exactly.
...list are...
We had investigated a lot of options talking about using non-foil prints, going back to that. We did that for one series. It wasn't the best. I think it was series 4. Yeah. We talked about eliminating them completely. We talked about just reducing the number down to, you know, one or two per kit. But we think we're going to be able to pretty much get back to where we were before. We probably won't be making as many. So... if you want kits, buy them when they show up, because we'll probably print a bunch and then put them up on the site. And when we run out, because we can't keep up with the volumes we were doing before. The continuing committee is not a card production entity.
All the same, it has been really a great perk. So I will once again be the voice of the players and thank you and the team of the warehouse flunkies for yes, there they are. Oh, there, and there's bench kits ready to go. Just waiting,
yeah,
waiting for cards.
No, this is a raffle.
Oh,
it's for the raffle.
All
the raffle prizes. Half, if your name, if your screen name is M or lower in the alphabet, your raffle prizes went out to this morning. If it's higher, I'm sorry, I have to buy more tape.
See, and now I feel a little guilty because I was like, oh yeah, raffle, I've had those for.
Oh, right, because I can hand deliver yours.
I do my own shipping, or I guess you do my own shipping.
Yes, hand delivered by a continuing committee member.
Yeah.
No, the rest of these will go out. The rest of the world's weekend prizes will go out, and Joel, your Section 31 foil for your comment on the boards all those months ago is finally going out.
Excellent.
Very good.
All right. Well, that's fantastic. That's a little insight into the warehouse behind you there, and sort of our last, I guess, what's going to be not quite our last tournament of the year. We've got one more day coming up.
That's right.
The 30th of December, so almost the last chance. We're going to have listen to the show. I almost said watched. I'm apparently getting very used to this idea of video. If you've listened to us before, you know that we have the Phoenix Tournament here in Southern California. It's sort of a regular tradition, quasi-New Year, kind of around New Year's. It hasn't been on actual New Year's Day for a while, but we're going to have a full day of Trek, 1E, some 2E, some Tribbles. I believe we have a special 1E event planned.
I hope so. A long time ago, we got a collector's tin, and we said, you know, when all three of the classic affiliations are redone in the TNG block, we will do a sealed event with those cards. So we're going to put something together. There's a virtual booster pack generator. We'll make some virtual boosters. We'll draft. We'll put them all out in pages and do a rotisserie draft of the entire tin. And then we'll open up some packs and probably add in a random starter. Maybe we get the random starter and then...
The TNG virtual starters.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
So you get that continuing mission and all good, all intentional hands.
Yes.
So that'll be really cool. That'll make that... I mean, we've had a tin draft before a long, long time ago, and it was like, oh, this is kind of funny, but, you know, not ultimately useful, but it'll be a lot cooler.
Yeah. And I think we decided that we're going to treat any Ferengi that pop up in the packs as non-aligned.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Since they're not really going to be able to make a showing with the rest of the cards. Cool. I am looking forward to that.
And then we'll have a 2E tournament. It'll probably be a regular event since we haven't had one in a while. I had some thoughts about making it a slipstream event because we'll have limited time, but we might just have a regular tournament. And then we'll do Tribbles. So three tournaments, one day. Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year. We're off until then. There's Christmas and Geekmas and preparing for Christmas and Geekmas. So I'm sure we'll probably have another show somewhere in there, but probably no more tournaments. So,
right. We'll probably have Scrapbooking Day in there too.
Yeah. All right. Well,
all right.
We should wrap this up and make sure that we are prepared for the playoffs tomorrow in our Intelligence League softball tournament.
Yes.
Before too long. So I believe that's the end of our intelligence for this week. I'm going to give a big shout out to Warp 11 for their awesome theme song. We're going to have to link their YouTube channel now if they have some. I know they have some videos that are pretty entertaining. In the meantime, I'm Sir Roke.
And I'm Sir Dan.
And I'll remind you all to expand your power in the universe.
And I will draw one to that. They are always watching you, but you cannot detect Section 31. Section 31. Section 31.